This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I just don't know, man. The fact that I didn't have the Bengals on my top 10 in the first week of June.
Fourth in Super Bowl odds.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rich's power ranking. This last one, though, was poppycock.
Oh.
By not having the Bengals.
The Rich Eisen Show.
In the top 10.
Earlier on the show. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. USA Today columnist Christine Brennan. Coming up. Actor Anthony Michael Hall. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
All right. Welcome to hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. And I mean, this is as crazy a time as I can recall in sports. And I'm not starting with a little bit of an exaggeration, hyperbole. By the way, Anthony Michael Hall's in our green room right now.
How about that?
And he's coming out shortly, and it'll be great.
Let's go.
But I mean... there's just some head scratchers all over the lot in sports right now. The U.S. women's national team and those who put it together, you know, for those here in charge of the Olympic roster for that team here in the United States, tells Caitlin Clark, no thanks. You can just take the few weeks off for the WNBA. And again, you know, we had Christine Brennan on last hour, and we could argue merit, this, that, the other thing. She's saying the reason why two different people told her independently, and these are impeccable sources that have been around the women's game for decades. They said the reason why they left off Caitlin Clark is they didn't want to piss off her international legion of fans when she was just going to play only a few minutes anyway. And it's just like, what? Really? And then Dan Hurley... turns down the Lakers head coaching job offer. And the wild part about that is not that he's choosing to stay in college when the college game is totally unpredictable in terms of name, image, likeness, transfer portal, and the future of paying athletes through the school. The school's paying athletes. And it's not because of the fact that he could coach one of the most storied franchises in all of sports, or I need to say sport, right? When it happens
sport
that way.
Sport makes it classier.
Right, makes it classier when you say sport. And you could coach LeBron James and things of that nature. LeBron There's James. Personal aspects of this, you know. Maybe he didn't want to move all the way to the West Coast. His family's all the way on the East Coast. He's not going to live.
It's a big move.
It is a big move. There's no doubt about it.
We've all done it.
But yep. Here we are in this day and age saying, according to Woj, this... the offer was 6 years, $70 million, which is double his current salary contract extension. But in terms of the NBA, I'll be straight up with you. Looking at the commercial, during the commercial break, who's the highest paid coaches in the sport right now? It's a little light to say, come on out here, uproot your family, and earn a little bit over $11 million a year. And according to a bunch of articles I'm seeing, you know, Steve Kerr is being paid $17.5 million annually. Popovich is earning $16 million a year. Spoelstra in Miami is learning $15 million a year. And I understand these guys all have trophies in the case. But he's got two in college, and you want him. $13 million annually is what the Pistons gave Monty Williams.
Oof.
Who doesn't have trophies in the case. The $11 million per...
We had 2-0 lead in the finals.
The $11 million per is higher than the $10 million a year Mike Budenholzer just got in Phoenix. And he's got a trophy in the case. Again, this is nothing to sneeze at. This is incredibly generationally enriching money. But when you're making decisions and you have the options that Dan Hurley has, isn't that a little light? Is that a little light?
And you're the Lakers. You're supposed to be the golden franchise in the National Basketball Association. You're Hollywood. You're Tinseltown. You're going to lowball? You're going to lowball a guy who...
Well, they doubled his salary that he currently has. Is the extension. They
great.
Doubled it.
Great. And LA 11 is like Connecticut 6. You know what I mean? So you got to make that worth the worth his while. Like, 690 gets the job done. 670.
You think so?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm good in Connecticut.
I don't know. We may find out what would have gotten the job done is moving Los Angeles to the Eastern time zone.
Maybe.
Which, last I checked, is not possible.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
But if you're pulling out all the stops, and this is the guy you've been targeting, according to Woj, the entire time.
Yeah, because now.
I mean, come on, wet my beak.
Anybody who's going to be sat down to be the next head coach of the Lakers knows he is plan B.
And I guarantee you.
So the Red Sweater is plan B.
I guarantee
there
you.
There's Ken Bone, everybody.
The next coach.
From back in the day.
Isn't getting 6 for 70.
That's true, too.
Yeah, so now you have to know you're not the first choice, and you ain't going to get as much
and
scratch.
You're not getting this, you're not getting the 70. So why would anybody take this job?
Well, because they get an opportunity to coach the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, it's...
Do you know LeBron's coming back?
No. I'm assuming he is. We all know what that means.
Yeah, I need to know that before I sign on the dotted line, though.
Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. We've got a breaking news out of the NFL in terms of contract extension.
Oh, no way. Really?
Oh, baby.
Oh, great.
This is... Go ahead.
Here it comes.
Oh, yeah.
And Maria, I see...
Breaking news.
I got to guess it's going to make me happy because Hoskins did not come in our ears.
No.
It makes me happy.
It makes...
It makes
Rich
me
happy,
very happy.
For all the idiots who've been saying
that. Don't say idiots. Don't use the word idiots.
Sorry,
be very careful.
Sorry. All the fine people from this part of the country.
It makes me very happy.
Something else.
Because... There are some people that have accused me of caping for this man and have accused me of burying my head in the sands of multiple years in a row without winning a playoff game in a city that's used to putting trophies in the case. But to all the Pittsburgh Steelers fans that don't want to hear this information, don't shoot the messenger.
Well, we're waiting.
Mike Tomlin signed a 3-year contract extension with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Baby. He was entering the final year. What did he have left?
You know what? A 3-year contract extension for Mike Tomlin. I will just say it again. For those in the back.
Runs through the end of 2027.
Guys and gentlemen. Of the great city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The sports-loving city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Arguably, one of the prettiest cities in the United States of America. I mean, that ballpark that the Pirates are currently playing in, where we're seeing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs and 100-mile-an-hour of exit velocity.
115.
Okay.
A beautiful park.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm buttering them up. Great city, for great culture, food. And tradition of winning, for all you folks, if Mike Tomlin didn't get this 3-year contract extension, he would be somebody else's coach within 5 minutes.
The Lakers would have hired him.
Man, I may need you.
The Lakers would have given him the contract.
I'm telling y'all, he is one of the best.
Honestly, he should be the
in
Lakers
the business.
Coach.
That's what I'm saying.
The players love playing for him. If you see, because so many of these players are out and about in Pittsburgh. It's one of the beautiful aspects, like old school times where players can go out and about,
be seen in town. In town, right?
Down the south side. Net.
Ask them when you see them. What do you think of your coach? They will tell you how much they love him.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
And, you know, again, that's the issue, again, is that he does not or has not won at all in a long time. But I kind of dig it. I think he's one of the best. You could do a whole lot worse if you want to use the other flip side of it. And I know there's a lot of and there's a lot to be said for continuity. I love it. I do love it. And I know this is going to get aggregated by a whole ton of Pittsburgh blogging spots and what have you. I might earn myself a return trip to some of the local radio stations out there that think, I don't know what I'm talking about. You don't live here. You don't see it every year. They don't care that he hasn't had a losing season.
But he better win a playoff game this year, right?
Well, let's put it this way. They are set up going into this season better than they were going into last season when I thought they were going to be a force to be reckoned with. And Kenny Pickett turned out to be a regressed quarterback this year. And it may not be his fault. Tomlin stuck with Matt Canada way too long, I think. The offense was definitely not having the coordinated, wasn't coordinated properly. Successfully, he has stuck with guys too long and a staff for a lot of Steeler fans, and I think they make a valid point when it comes to that. But they made the moves in this offseason. Arthur Smith going there. I don't know if Russ is going to be the guy. But defensively, they're set. Offensively, they've got a young, inexpensive roster that if it doesn't work out, they can pivot quickly.
That's the important thing.
They are nimble. They're ready to pivot if it doesn't work out. And credit the Rooneys. They know who Mike Tomlin is. They deal with him. They see him at work. They see how the players feel about him. And they are just not making a move for move's sake. They don't do that sort of thing. But how about that? Mike Tomlin getting a 3-year contract extension. That is... not going to land well in certain parts of that fan base.
I don't think
it's just
that's
not.
A shock, though.
What, that he got it?
No. We've talked about this for a year. Steelers don't change coaches. They don't do things like that. So this isn't really a shocker.
Well, 3 years is kind of a lot.
What are you going to revisit this every other year? You give him 3 years.
You could have just gave him a one, guaranteed it through the end of 2025 and see where they're at.
Yeah, but you're not. That's not what they do. You gotta send a message to your locker room and to your fan base. This is our guy. Let's all back off or jump in or come aboard. We're expecting you. It's the football love boat.
But I mean, look. Let's rewind 4 years ago in New England. No one would have thought Bill would have been out that time. And
no,
now you're on that.
You want to say this is his last contract extension there if he doesn't win? I'll buy that.
That could be true.
I'll buy that. But, I mean, in this day and age where you can have somebody that can look a 21-year-old in the face and they go, okay, I believe you. I'm buying what you're selling. And you can look a 35-year-old in the face and say the same thing. And you're giving yourself a chance to make the playoffs. I just think they're building a roster that is really good. If the quarterback works, then look out. Truly. And I think they got the offense in the right person's hands, that's for sure. Wow. What news? Dan Hurley says no. And Mike Tomlin gets a 3-year contract extension from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And all I would say is the following to a Steeler fan that has this issue. Let's just say you get your wish and the Steelers say, no to Mike Tomlin. You're not getting a contract extension. We're going to go all in like the Cowboys on Mike McCarthy, right? That if you don't win this year, it's over. Okay? Let's just say that. Who would you prefer to have? You want to go get that hot coordinator? Is that what you want to do? Or Belichick? You think Belichick and the Steelers, that's a marriage? When he's only got one contract potentially left in him? You think that's a marriage? Who else do you want? I'm serious.
Yeah, but sometimes that's not really the answer. It's but just...
No, because you... No.
But it's different and new is better than what's the status quo.
And this... No.
It's the same conversation we had all year
with
the
Pats. But you have to... Right. You have to... But at least they had somebody in waiting that you knew who it was.
True. And they had the Vrabel possibility, which correct. That popped up.
That maybe that's what you're talking about. Maybe somebody would say they'd rather have Vrabel come in. They'd rather have him. Now you're talking. You'd rather have that guy than your current guy. Because that's what I would say is, who else would you rather have? Hot coordinator, somebody else, just for the sake of somebody else. I think you got the wrong ownership group for that. Again, we had Ed O'Neill here last week. And I'll say it. I mean, you can Google it. I think he said it himself as well. He's a 77-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
He got cut by Mike Tomlin's predecessor once removed.
Yeah, two head coaches ago.
Yes.
Cut him.
Predecessor once removed.
Two.
Cut a 77-year-old man.
55 years ago?
In his first season as head coach of the Steelers.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Anthony Michael Hall is here. We're very excited to have him. Trigger Warning is available for streaming on Friday, June 21st on Netflix. So much to talk about with him. When we come back with a great celebrity true or false and conversation. Man, the Hoops Finals are right around the corner. How cool would it be to go to one of those games? You might even be thinking that right now. And if you are, I've got the solution for you. Game Time makes getting finals tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. You get killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, meaning no surprises on the final cost. Views from your seat, which means no surprises on your view of the court. The lowest price guarantees also there from Game Time, which takes the guesswork completely out of buying basketball tickets, certainly when it's the biggest event around for hoops, the finals. Take the guesswork straight out. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. All right, back here on The Rich Eisen Show. Trigger Warning, a new Netflix film available for streaming on Friday 21st, only on Netflix, which you can see right here on the Roku portal. Anthony Michael Hall is here. Great to see you, Woo! Sir. How are you?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Good to see you, Rich.
Appreciate Excellent. You being here, sir. Okay, so let's take a look of a little bit from Trigger Warning. You play a senator in this film?
I play Ezekiel Swan, a corrupt senator. Go figure, right?
Ripped straight from the head. Lines.
No kidding. Yeah.
All right. Pulling me in right there.
Right on.
What'd you like about this?
I had a blast, man. It was made by this company, Thunder Road, that did the John Wick franchise.
Yeah.
And we had this incredible stunt crew called the 8711. They're top flight.
Yeah.
And they're really excellent. And we had a great female director, Molly Saria, lovely lady from Indonesia. Jessica Alba kicks ass, man. I mean, she's like a stunt coordinator. She really knows her stuff, and she comes with it, and she's really prepared. And it was a great shoot. We shot in Santa Fe a couple years back.
Yeah. Jake Weary, Mark Weber, Tone Bell in this show. This film, Trigger Warning, on Netflix. I'm back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network all together, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We just saw a clip of Trigger Warning available for streaming in a couple of Fridays only on Netflix, which you can see right here on Roku, starring Jessica Alba and our friend here on the Rich Eisen Show, Anthony Michael Hall. And brother, when I saw you in the back, and I told you I'm a big fan, I have been a big fan for a while.
Thank you, Rich.
And you kind of were saying something, watching a clip of yourself playing a dad to a bunch of other, like kid actors in a way. They're not kids, but they're like in their 20s.
Well, listen, I started late myself, Rich. First of all, I've been a fan of yours for a long time, too. Thank you for having me today, man.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah. So I just had a son last year, in the year where De Niro and Pacino had a kid. I feel young again. All due respect to those greats. But honest to God, it was really fun. These are two very talented actors, Mark Weber and Jake Weary. And they're like my Cain and Abel, And,
right.
As it turns out, they're all kind of complicit in on this. But it's a real kind of good versus evil, good fun revenge thriller. And Jessica's excellent in the film, and it's a fun ride, man.
And everyone, watch it Friday, June 21st. And you're also going to be in season 3 of Reacher, huh?
Yeah, I just got back. Yeah. I was shooting in Toronto for the last year. We had to sit out the strike, wait that out, and then we started shooting again in November.
Right.
And we just wrapped. Actually, they're going to finish next month. But great show, man. They really upped the ante on the action, and it's a lot of fun. It was a great crew we worked with. Mm-hmm. So I was in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about Reacher quite a bit here on the program. Has he let himself go?
I said, listen, hit the gym. You're looking a little skinny. No, he's a talented guy, man. Alan's a good man. He's a stand-up guy. Very involved in the process.
He said he eats pizzas. Did he eat any pizzas on the
set? He's eating everything. They're handing him tuna. They're giving him everything.
Are you serious?
A lot. No, he's a big boy. He eats a lot. He does. He's on that program, man. He's got to stay active. He's in the gym a lot. And good guy, man. I enjoyed working with him. I had fun.
And that show is a major hit.
Major hit. Right, it's created by a guy named Nick Santoro, who got his break years ago. He wrote an episode of The Sopranos, and then he was off to the races. Nick is a great guy. He's had about 8 shows, including Prison Break. Bunch of good shows.
Right. Yeah. So when did you get started in this industry, sir?
Believe it or not, Rich, I started way back in 1976. I did a play with Steve Allen when I was 8 years old. So I'm 56 now.
The late night talk host, pretty much?
Yeah.
Steve Allen?
Steve Allen. So I started many years ago in the 70s, and I was 8 years old. I've had a 48-year run at this point. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, and your big break was what, would you say?
When I did Vacation with Chevy, I was 14. You're in National Lampoon's Vacation.
14 years.
Russ, the feet, remember?
Ruben, Rusty.
You were 14 years old on
1983,
that.
Man, 82.
All right, so there's different ways that we can go about this, but the normal way that we go about this on this program is we have a segment called Celebrity True or False.
Okay.
Where we ask you a bunch of questions about your filmography, your history, and we've noticed a couple things on the internet tubes that may be true or may not be.
All right,
and we ask you, okay, and we have some great production value to start it.
Yes, sir.
Hit it, please.
Celebrity, true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
There you go. That's our.
I love Jack buttoning it, right?
That's our. It's nothing like Jack buttoning it, for sure.
Jack is the man.
All right, first up for you, Anthony Michael Hall, celebrity, true or false? Again, you just mentioned you were 14 years old when you were on Vacation, right?
That's right, yep.
Okay, true or false? You try to sneak onto the Vacation set just to watch Beverly D'Angelo's nude scene.
Guilty as charged. And it was supposed to be a spoof of Psycho, right? So Chevy approaches the shower and pulls the curtain back, and Miss D'Angelo was topless, and I was 14, and I was on set somehow, just bird dogging from a corner.
I mean, you're 14 years old.
Saying? That's it. What can I say? Puberty kicked in, boys. What am I going to do?
Makes sense.
I got promptly kicked off the set by Matty Simmons, the late great Matty Simmons. Rest his soul.
Is that right? Is that what happened? Because that's, you know, not what a pro would do, I guess.
Of course, but I caught him looking when I got to the set, so it's okay. He's all right. He was a great guy.
What,
God love him.
What was it like to be on a set with Chevy Chase at age 14 in a National Lampoon movie? What was that
well,
like?
Well, we're in the same zone, I'm sure, age-wise, Rich, so you remember.
Yeah, I'm 54, about to be 55.
Yes, sir. So I'm 56. Yeah, I mean, Saturday Night Live was everything to me as a kid. I used to ask my mother to stay up late in the 70s and those that great original cast with Chevy and Bill Murray and all those guys. So I loved it. I was just an honor, you know, to work with him. And that summer I got to work with John Candy. It's incredible. You know, all the people that I got to work with, Imogene Coca. It was just like a lesson in comedy, you know, that whole summer. And this is before effects. So this is actually the whole crew in 1982. We actually hit the road. We shot that first scene in the car lot where we pick up the car from Eugene Levy. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the crew literally got on planes. A lot of the crew guys and actually schlepped the trucks out to the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And we started in Colorado and worked our way back through Arizona.
You Grand literally Canyon. Went on the road.
Yeah, literally the whole crew went on that half a vacation across the country. It was incredible. So we did three stops in Colorado. Then we went to Arizona, and then we made our way back to L.A. So the crew actually made that trek.
Wow, and Christie Brinkley just happened to be driving by. That's not amazing.
Don't get me started on the SI February swimsuit issues. Remember those boys? No scotch tape. Mom, I'm okay. Leave me alone. Knock before you come in.
I thought you were washing your hair.
It turns into the scene from Weird Science, right on.
There's That's a through line here, boys.
Oh, yeah. There is indeed, Anthony Michael Hall. All right, celebrity true or false. Next up, true or false, you had a part in casting John Cusack in 16 Candles and Paul Gleason in The Breakfast Club. Is that true or false?
This is also true. Because of the late, great John Hughes and his coolness, at one point we were prepping 16 Candles, 1984, in Chicago.
Right.
And they brought in a bunch of young guys to play my geek buddies. And I couldn't believe it, but John pulled me aside. He goes, "Look, they got to be your friends in the film, but I want you to cast them." So, you know, and he loved John Cusack too. We both were fans of John and Joan. They were both from Chicago. Uh-huh. So I did cast John, yeah. And that was to my amazement to this day. And who was the other person you mentioned?
Paul Gleason, who played the assistant principal in The Breakfast Club, there he is saying, "Don't mess with the bull, you'll get the horns."
So there's a great story there. So I was a huge fan of Eddie Murphy when I was a kid, and we were shooting 16 Candles, and I went and saw Trading Places. And you guys remember how funny Trading Places was,
yeah,
right? Billy Valentine, come on, he was hilarious.
Billy Ray Capricorn.
Yeah, exactly. Billy Ray, yeah, Capricorn. So I had suggested Paul to John Hughes, because there's a scene in Trading Places where He's on a payphone. Right. And the old lady comes up and he does a little expletive, F off to the old lady. And it was hilarious. I just thought that was funny. So at the time, John was thinking about casting the old guy that played Nick Colasanto, who played Coach on Cheers.
That's who he was thinking of casting.
That's who he was going to get. Yeah. For that role.
To be in charge of you in detention and
Breakfast
Nelson
Club. And everybody else. Exactly. And then I just suggested that he see Trading Places, and then John saw it and he cracked up. So that's how it led to him meeting with Paul Gleason.
So Clarence Beeks telling a woman to F off at a payphone.
It's all it took.
Because you saw Trading Places and you told John Hughes about it.
Yeah, and I was a huge fan of Eddie's, as I said, and Dan Aykroyd too. That was just such a classic movie. So yeah, and he wound up playing the part. He was a great guy.
Okay, so what was it like on the set of The Breakfast Club? What was that? What's your memory?
It was like filming a play. I mean, we had about 8 or 10 pages of scenes to do every day. And it was kind of heavy, kind of dramatic. You know?
Yes.
So it was like filming a play. But I remember we shot for only about 35 days. It was a quick shoot, man. You know. So, and they had built that library inside of this high school that had been shut down, that where we shot at. And it's funny. This is back in the day of the USFL. So we actually shared the facility with the Chicago Blitz in the original USFL. Wow. So we'd be on a break and I'd see Vince Evans walking down the hallway with his lineman, you know. "Hey, Vince, how are you?" And
no kidding.
Yeah, it's random stuff. But we shared that high school facility, which it was that affluent Chicago suburb, but this high school had just shut down. So we shared it with the Chicago Blitz. Anyway, that set was built inside the gym of this high school.
So was that the only USFL Molly Ringwald connection in the history of both?
I think it's the only one we can find. Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah,
Is it true you went through a growth spurt shooting that movie as well?
I did. I was a kid, man. I was 16. I still looked about 12, I think. And then after that, I sprouted up. Yeah. Yeah, and then we actually started dating, which surprised me more than anything, Molly and I.
Through meeting each other on
the set? Well, she hated me all through 16 Candles, but when we got to The Breakfast Club, something changed in her. I don't know. I guess she saw.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
She saw the light.
Wow. So you're shooting 16 candles with Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
She's just not that into you. She was kidding.
Yeah, she was giving me the full Farmer Ted treatment there. But then on Breakfast Club, things changed.
Wow.
We'd have to ask Molly why. Let's get her on the phone
right now. That's good. We could do that. She's welcome here anytime. Wow. Certainly the 15-year-old version of me would say the same thing as well. And if, last one on that one. Is it true you beat out Jim Carrey for the role of Farmer Ted?
I heard about this years later, and I'm amazed by that. I met Jim at some Laker games. I was friendly with Dr. Buss, who was a great guy. I used to see Jim at the old Forum. But I read that I guess he was up for it. I think that's great. You know, I'm a huge Jim Carrey fan.
All right, now I got to pull on this strand, even though I don't know the answer to this question. Look, what do you think about? Hold on a second. So you got a good Jerry Buss story? You got a good Jerry Buss?
Well, no, I don't really have any stories about Doc, but he was always very good to me. I have a good friend named Rick Payne who worked very closely with Doc for many years.
Okay.
And I was a frequent guest to Laker games back in the 90s when I first moved here.
Okay.
So Doc was great. He would always have me in to the clubhouse, and I'd go to the Forum Club for the dinners. Remember, I used to hold court there?
Yeah.
I mean, the Forum really was the Forum of L.A.
Is that so?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. But Doc was a great guy. He was very generous, very kind-hearted. Good man.
All right, next up, true or false, Anthony Michael Hall, you became friends with Mike Tyson when you were both teenagers.
True story. I was at a Tyson fight. Now, this is where it gets kind of 6 degrees. It's funny.
Okay.
Paul Gleason took me to see Tyson fight Reggie Gross. It was June 13th. I checked this yesterday. June 13th, 1986.
Mm-hmm.
He knocked Gross out in the first round. But before the fight that night, we went to Charlie O's. Remember the old Charlie O's at Madison Square Garden?
Sure, of course.
And Paul introduced me to Don King, and I met the greatest. I met Muhammad that day, too. It was incredible. So that was a big day for me, way back in 86.
And then you befriended Mike Tyson? Did he?
Tyson and I have been friends ever since. I mean, of course, there have been long stretches where we don't see each other, but we stay in contact, and we reconnected really well a couple of years ago. So we shoot each other texts all the time, keep up with each other.
Please tell me the connection was 16 candles, was it?
No, you know what it was?
He
had seen the John Hughes films, and after that knockout that day, I remember he came out of the ring and he saw me. He goes, "You're my favorite actor." You know,
it's okay. Go ahead.
Sorry that. Anyway,
go ahead.
So that's where I met Tyson, man. Yeah, yeah. And then I would have parties at a house in New Jersey at the time, and Tyson would come through, and we actually went on a double date once. We took some girls out to a play at Lincoln Center. Go figure, right? Paul and Tyson at Lincoln Center.
A double date with
two
Mike
dates.
Tyson.
Not only that we're at the theater, but then we had a double date going. That was very civilized. Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible. Wow. Dude, man.
Funny shit, right? I know.
For sure. No doubt about it. Next up, true or false, the weird science scene of the missile coming up through the floor had to be reshot because you farted, causing the rest of the cast and crew to crack up. Is that true or not?
I remember letting go a few times on the set. Did the missile stop working, or was it me? I don't know. I might have crop dusted that day. I'm not sure.
So this actually happened.
I guess so. Yeah.
All right. You got a good story from Weird Science. Other than that, Weird Science taking place.
I think
place?
That's about enough. Yeah. I remember that missile. It was Stage 27 at Universal. It's funny because we shot on location in Chicago, and then when we got back to L.A., we were on the lot at Universal. So I guess I was a little too comfortable working with John Hughes there.
There
I was,
goes, ladies.
I was
and
farting
gentlemen.
On the set, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's okay. Maybe blame it on craft services. Last one for you, sir. Here we go.
Okay.
True or false? Two roles you almost got were Nuke LaLoosh in Bull Durham and Private Joker in Full Metal Jacket.
Yes. I met the director on Bull Durham, and I have to say, I was a dumb young kid, and I didn't handle that well. Ron Shelton. He was a good man, and at the time, I wasn't in a good place, you know, and he was willing to give me that opportunity, and I screwed that up, to be very honest. I can be very candid about that.
Sure.
But I was a kid, you know, so I did make mistakes, absolutely. The Private Joker thing is true, too. I was called by my agent right around the time I was doing Weird Science. This is 1984, 85.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a call, and he said, Mr. Kubrick is doing a Vietnam epic, and he's interested in you playing one of the platoon members. And then I got a call 2 days later saying he was going to call me on Saturday. And I flipped out. It was incredible. It was
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, was going to call me the day after. My agent now calling me on a Friday saying he's going to call you Saturday.
Did he call you?
He did. So I was up pacing in my room. It's like Oz is going to call. You know, I pick up the phone and there's Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
It was an amazing conversation. You know, he talked about his favorite filmmakers, Chaplin, Eisenstein, Russian filmmaker, a lot of great people. And he paid me a great compliment. He said he had screened 16 Candles a couple times, and that I was his favorite actor he'd seen since he saw Jack and Easy Rider. And I just, that was like a, I've dropped the phone. Forget about a mic drop, phone drop. I was just like, wow.
Right.
So it was incredible. And what ensued was, to be very honest, Rich, it was about a 10-month negotiation. It was pretty wild. And unfortunately, we just didn't come to terms on it. So, I mean, I don't have any regrets in my life, but I think that's the closest thing I would say I've come to one. Because I've always remained a big fan of Kubrick, and I love his work, you know, to this day.
He's one of the masters. Yeah, man. You know? I mean, to have him call you up and pay you that compliment.
It was amazing. Know? It was an amazing thing. So, you know, unfortunately, it didn't work out. But, you know, you got to wish everybody success and just wish people well and keep on moving. And then it's funny. I ran into Matthew Modine a couple years later after the fact, Rich.
Right.
And I saw him in Midtown Manhattan. I was right near the plaza. And he saw me. He said, Hall, hey, what's up, Matt? I go, how long did you wind up shooting on Full Metal Jacket? He goes, 54 weeks. I went, whoa. So Kubrick was a master, but he was also very detail-oriented. He would shoot a picture for a year, you know, and he did.
Yeah, a lot of Kubrick moments. We've heard from, we've had Vincent D'Onofrio here telling Vince. Some stories of being Private Pyle on that set.
Sure, sure.
You know, he told some stories about, you know, shooting that scene and talking to Kubrick and what that was like to work for him and how, you know, painstaking it really was, the process.
And Kelly LeBrock, to her credit, she's still a friend. She's a great lady. She took me up. She knew Jack, and so she, when I was doing Weird Science, she picked me up one night and surprised me, took me up to Jack's house. And
at the Jack
time, Nicholson.
Okay.
Yeah, it was incredible. When I was 17, it was a very good year.
Yeah.
We went up to Nicholson's house, and it was amazing because I'm a kid. We're driving in his driveway, and there's Jack shooting free throws by himself in his driveway. And he turned around and did a classic Nicholson with the open palm, pushed the hair back, and looked at us. I can't do Jack, but
go ahead.
I said, come on in, you know. So we go into the house. He comes down. He goes, I'm going to take a shower. I'll be down in a few minutes. So then we knock on the door. Angelica Houston opens the door. She lets us in. She's looking at Kelly LeBrock like, who told her to come over with some kid? What's going on here? So we sat down with Jack. And long story short, Rich, he loved Nicholson loved Kubrick. He said he would do it again in a second. He said every single shot, minimum 30 takes he would do. So he was obsessive. He was very detail-oriented, but he's one of the masters.
So he's telling, okay. So Kelly LeBrock brings you over to Jack Nicholson's house.
That's right.
He's shooting hoops, goes to take a shower. Angelica Houston lets you in, and he starts telling Shining stories?
I swear to you. After about 10 minutes, and we walk in, there's beautiful paintings. They had Sinatra playing. Angelica was making dinner for them, and it was just quite a scene. So when he came down, he sat down with me, and he said, so Kelly tells me you're going to work with Stanley. And I was like, I couldn't believe I'm sitting across from Nicholson, you know. And he had nothing but great things to say. You know?
Damn, man. Wow. What was John Hughes like?
John Hughes was great, man. He had a great sense of humor. He was a great guy to work for and work with. Very collaborative. Loved to laugh. We loved music. He would take us out to some great blues clubs in Chicago. We'd go to Kingston Mines and classic blues places. He'd pick us up, me and Molly, go to record stores. I mean, he was just a fun guy. He was like a big older brother.
You know? I mean, just record shopping?
Yeah.
You, John Hughes, and Molly
Ringwald? Yeah, he was just really cool. Like, he would make mixtapes. That's why he had such an ear for music, because he wrote all those music cues into his films, you know? So he really kind of created that style for himself.
Did he find Simple Minds? Is that what you're saying? Like,
did he? He did, Rich. And he had such a good ear for music, it wound up inspiring Universal to give him a Vanity record label deal. So he had Hughes Entertainment. He was doing his films, and he also had Hughes Records. And he would single out a guy like Keith Forsey. He had produced Billy Idol back in the day and Simple Minds. And he would hire a guy like Keith Forsey, and Keith Forsey went and got the Stray Cats, and they did another rendition of the old 16 Candles song.
Right.
Or he found Simple Minds. So he was really attuned to music. He had a great ear for music, you know. All those 80s synth bands, too, all the stuff that was in the movie.
Hell yeah.
Comes from him, man. He would be finding all that music. He really
did. The soundtracks of the movies were just as popular as the movies.
Yeah, back in the day, man. Human League and Thompson Twins and all that 80s stuff. Oh, yeah, he had his finger on the pulse. He really
did. I'm going back to my prom days now. I'm going to break out in a cold sweat. Be careful. I mean, yeah, we are pretty much the same age here. And man, I could ask you first questions for days. You were on SNL for a year, correct? That for one season you were?
Yeah, probably.
Robert Downey Jr.,
Downey,
right?
I brought Downey to Lorne Michaels' attention, and I got Iron Man a gig. I'm still waiting for him to return the favor. Iron Man, you bastard. Right. No, he's a great guy. We're good friends. We actually are developing a project through his company with
That's
his
cool.
wife.
Yeah, that's great.
A TV show we're developing. But to your question, who'd you ask me about?
Robert Downey and Joan Cusack was on that cast too,
yeah, it
right?
was incredible. I mean, SNL is such an incredible show. Like, you come in on a Monday, people don't realize you do a 6-day week. I mean, you come in, you're writing around the clock.
Right.
You pair off with the writers. We do a read-through on Wednesday. Lorne invites the department heads and the cast.
Yeah.
And basically, whatever garners the most laughs, he goes back to his office and starts doing the board. You know, the index cards with the three columns.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And then you rehearse the show, man, from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, around the clock. People don't realize. You're there 12 hours a day. So it's a pretty intense job. And it's like theater, stand-up, rock and roll, everything.
All rolled into one. Because you got to do it live at the end of the week.
You're not kidding.
Right. And so, and is it true, I guess, last one for you here, you still hold the record for youngest cast member in the history of Saturday
Night? Yeah, on the worst season in the history of 50 seasons. But other than that, it was a great experience.
You were 17?
17, man.
Dude, you're 17 on SNL?
It was a great experience, man. I mean, I was at home watching Eddie Murphy 2 years before
that.
Yeah,
you were saying, like, you were talking about how you helped put Paul Gleason in, you know, The Breakfast Club because you're watching Eddie Murphy and Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, as a kid, man, even in the 70s, I was a little kid. I loved the show. I've always been fascinated with it.
Right.
I loved it, you know. But then I was watching the Eddie Murphy years and obviously, you know, Billy Crystal, Piscopo, all those guys, man. They were just phenomenal. You know? And the women, too, of SNL. Great.
And then Dark Knight as well, right? You were in Batman Begins. I forget which one.
I was in The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan as well.
Only film I ever made where it made so much money, I got a nice big bump in the mail one day. I got a $50,000 bonus. I went, damn,
dude,
it's good to be in a movie that makes a billion, rather, hey, man, is what I'm trying to say.
I got my latest residual check right here. I don't know if it's going to be...
There's $50,000 from Roku for you, Rich.
I don't know about that. No, I do open my residual checks on the air sometimes just
to see.
Good
feeling.
Oh, dude, I'm honestly...
We're blessed.
The 18 cents I get from that one time I was on...
Very nice. Very nice.
Seriously.
That can happen,
The
too.
CSI Miami checks, dude. They just keep coming in.
That's right. You've done a bunch of cameos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right on.
You know, you go ahead and ask a question before we let him go, guys.
Yeah, actually, Susie texted us this. These 80s movies, these classics, like, could they be made now? What would they look like? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Thank you for that question, dear.
Is Susie chiming in?
Yeah.
Okay, that's my wife.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Eisen. Nice to see you.
Susie Schuster.
Yes, I guess. Okay, God, excuse me.
That's okay. It's okay.
No, I think, look, some of the things haven't aged well. Some of that humor, I think, by today's standards has not aged well. I mean, but the truth is it was always done in a good spirit. I think there was a paradigm to John's work where all the characters in his film wind off a little better off than they started, which was the kind of model. So with that said, he used humor to get there, you know, he was great at that. And he was really great, not just as a writer, director, Rich, but just how he let us try stuff. He was really collaborative. He was cool, open to the process. He was great. You
know? Well, Susie was the impetus for this. We've got a 15, 13, and a 10-year-old at home. And she's like, let's show him The Breakfast Club.
Right.
Because my oldest is just going into high school.
Wow.
And my youngest son is just going into seventh grade in new school. And we kind of wanted to show him about how, you know, it doesn't matter what year you're in. There is a period of life where you're changing. Your old friendships are changing.
Sure.
Your sense of yourself is changing.
Sure.
And how things can change in like an afternoon sometimes, you know?
Great point.
And we wanted to show that to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, but again, they're 15, 13, and 10 in a world where they're scrolling. And
sure.
They couldn't believe that it was a movie that took place only on one day.
Right, right.
Like
I think there's also a really strong anti-bullying message there, because I think the lesson I've taken from it all these years later, I've had a lot of experience, hundreds of people coming up to me talking about it. It's like group therapy, that film. But I think it's a great teachable moment that you gave it to your kids. I think it's great. It's an honor.
Your character in it has a very therapeutic moment. I mean, like, that is that's like therapy. That scene at the end of Breakfast Club.
Sure.
You're revealing, you know,
what sort of
charade you're putting on for them,
and
everybody.
The kids, they all share how they got there that day. Absolutely.
Right.
And I think it's great, because I think the message is, no matter how different we all are, we're all basically cut from the same cloth. We all have the same desires and hopes. And I think it's a great message, you know, in the film.
It does stand the test of time on that front, for sure.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Everybody should check out Trigger Warning, available for streaming on Friday, June 21st on Netflix, starring this man, Anthony Michael Hall, with Jessica Alba and more. And then, of course, when Reacher returns to Prime Video, season 3, we will see you in that. And obviously in everything else that you have been in, that just keeps on keeping on year after year, man.
Back at you.
Good to see you.
You too, sir.
You got it.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
Anthony Michael Hall here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll be back with more to wrap up this Monday show in a moment.
Great.
Fun, man. Thank you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, let's talk about them. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. We all know when something goes wrong with your car and you need maintenance and you need it fast and you need to make sure it's done right, that's when you turn to O'Reilly Auto Parts. Friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And the team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Tell everybody, Jack, who your godfather is. Who's your godfather?
Ron Shelton, who is the writer of Bull Durham.
Baby.
The movie that made me exist. I'm here because of that film.
So why not have him as the godfather of your child?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Cosmic All-Star.
What is it like to have Ron Shelton as a godfather?
I mean, as I got older and realized all the movies he had written and directed, it really, I mean, as I did what he does, it really became more of a resource. We get lunch a lot now, and I really like the guy. He's amazing.
How are you introduced him to Bull Durham? How was that introduced to you?
Well, I went to audition for Ron. I did really well, and then the agent says, you did really well, but you got to go through. And so I went out and met Kevin and pitched through the ball around with him.
So the catch that you had to conduct in order to get the gig was with Kevin Costner?
Yes.
Where? Do you remember?
Out at Warner Brothers Studios out in the valley.
And out, just right on out, the lot?
Outside, like in this, yeah, outside a bungalow. Yeah, outside a bungalow there, yeah.
So people are driving their golf carts around you while you're trying to have a catch with Kevin Costner?
Yeah, and I was like, okay, no, don't break any windows.
That's right. Because you are Nuke LaLoosh. You're supposed to throw it in any direction right there.
You know, he was written as a lefty.
Right.
And Ron decided that, you know, he wanted me, so turned into a right hand. Oh,
that kind of ruined the movie, though. If only he was a lefty, that would have really taken us to the next level.
Be careful what you wish for, because you might not exist.
That's right. Yeah. You know, if you think about it, you boil it all down.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm glad you got the part. I'm glad you memorized your lines that day.
Yeah.
Thanks, ouch.
Yeah.
Wow. That was that was a Nuke LaLoosh fastball high and tight right there.
Yeah.
So Jack Henry Robbins also owes it to Anthony Michael Hall to exist. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, fire up the grill and fire up the party, people. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone so you could put more food on the flame and food's going to look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You'll cook on two levels at the same time so you can make enough for everyone. You can add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Man, well, lots going on today. Oh, great fun conversation there.
Great show.
Great stuff with Christine Brennan early on to talk about what's going on with Caitlin Clark and the U.S. Women's Olympic team. And then Kevin O'Connell in hour number one tomorrow. Michael Richards, who played Kramer, has got a new book out. He'll be here in studio. We'll go down memory lane with him there. Lots to talk about. That was fun, right?
What a Monday. Man,
that was awesome.
Amazing.
Man. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, we talk life and pop culture and to have somebody like Anthony Michael Hall here, right?
Kind of lived all of it.
Whew, did he ever.
What a great career he's had, too, man.
Just... Derek in Missouri has been hanging on forever. And what's going on, Derek? How you been?
Hey, Rich, I'm doing good. Brockman, I gotta ask, how the hell are you still alive after eating Del Tipo's hat after all these years?
I don't get it. Oh, no, I was very sick for like 2 days after that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
These Patriots fans will do anything for attention. I just don't get it.
Well, either he was sick from the hat or sick from eating a hat because he took the bait of McLovin back in the day, which is...
It was the Cowboys' fault. They had a huge lead in the division that year.
He's like a known internet sports troll putting stuff out there on behalf of the Eagles, and
he's
you bit.
He's our friend.
Okay, so what do you got over there, Derek? What's on your mind?
Well, Rich, I want to do the... depending on who our quarterback is going to be, regardless, I'm going to do the win-loss game for the Broncos.
Okay, let's get things going. Derek in Missouri. Let's see. We've already had Martin in Colorado give us an idea. We will compare and contrast. Starting with at the Seattle Seahawks.
Since 2002, we haven't won there, so that's never a loss.
That's a loss. Ooh. Home for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who just gave Mike Tomlin a 3-year contract extension.
Sorry, Russ. That's a win.
At the Buccaneers.
Win.
At the Jets.
Loss.
2-2 home for the Raiders.
Win.
3-2 home for the Chargers.
I'm going to say win.
4-2 at the Saints on a Thursday night. It's Sean Payton's return. And?
Sorry, Sean, at the loss.
Okay. Wow. Now it's 4-3 home for the Panthers.
Win.
5-3 at the Ravens.
Loss.
5-4 at the Chiefs.
Loss.
Wow, that's a laugh. 5-5 home for the Falcons.
Win.
6-5 at the Raiders.
Win.
7-5 home for the Browns on a Monday night.
Loss.
7-6 off the bye home for the Colts.
Win.
8-6 at the Chargers.
Loss.
8-7 at the Bengals.
Loss.
8-8 home for the Chiefs.
Kent State will win the AFC West by then, so that's a win.
All right. 9-8. Had you gone the other way around, you'd have matched exactly what Martin in Colorado told you.
Well, it would have been like Dick Corona last year going 15-2. I don't know what he was thinking. So
look at you, brother. I love your fandom, Derek. Thank you for hanging on as much as you do and so, as much as you did today. Thanks for the call, brother.
Thank you, Rick.
That's Derek in Missouri, 9-8.
Yeah, who was it last year that had them 15-2?
He just mentioned it.
Yeah, he just said it.
Well, who was it in Corona? Was it?
I believe it was Nick in Corona. The fact that Derek remembers that is just a sign of his much appreciated fandom right there. 9-8.
The week Susie was here, we had Nick in Portland call, and he also predicted 8-9. So I thought we were going to have three in a row there.
Unfortunately for everybody, there's a new bar that's been set. It's Anthony in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Whose win-loss game for the Jets last week, 14-3, we put on our Instagram and TikTok feeds, and he is an instant star. That is, let me see if I can get this number on our Instagram feed. Have you seen how many views that's gotten on our Instagram feed?
No, but that dude was amazing.
When he went 14-3, right now, at present, the current number of views on that is over 428,000. So if you,
a legend.
So bottom line is, if you call in and you provide us with some entertainment and information and a prediction that we will put on a bulletin board for you, we'll make you an instant viral star. Awesome. We can do it. And we didn't even include at the end of the end of that conversation when I told him to pee in a cup, and he said, "Oh, I wouldn't pass that, Rich."
That's a shame.
Is that what you got right there?
That's a shame.
Okay, there you go. Very good. That'll wrap it up for this Monday show. Instant Overreaction Monday pod still to come.
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.